And now, live from Tribune Tower, Chicago, this is the WGN Radio Theater with Carl Amari.
Dragnet.
The Jack Benny Program.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
Yes, it's Maxwell House Coffee Time, starring George Burns and Gracie Allen.
Good evening, friends of the Inner Sanctum.
We offer you Escape.
It's time once again for another comedy episode of Our Miss Brooks.
Suspense.
Countdown for blastoff. X minus one.
Richard Diamond, private detective.
The Johnson Wax Program with Fibber McGee and Molly.
Kraft presents The Great Gildersleeve.
Yeah. All right, a little bit of a late start. 10 minutes after 11 here, Lisa Wolf. This is the WGN Radio Theater. I'm your host, Carl Amari. This is program 64. We play classic radio shows every Saturday and Sunday night from 11 p.m. till 2 a.m. And tonight, into the wee hours, we'll play the Jack Benny program with special guest Bob Hope, the First Nighter program, and Gunsmoke, good Western. So Mr. Matanky would like the Western. Lisa's dad likes the Westerns. We also have Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, in here. We're going to have a special announcement from Dan. We're also going to give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter to someone who entered our drawing, right, Lisa?
Yeah, we're very excited to give that away.
All right, all of this is brought to you in part by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This very talented actress stars in the upcoming thriller Unforgettable as a newly divorced, mentally unstable woman who threatens the family of her ex-husband.
All right. Do they win a Lou Malnati's?
Yes, they will win a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza.
All right. The number to call, 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200. Here's a hint. This beautiful actress is heard here in a scene with Seth Rogen from Knocked Up.
I'm pregnant?
With emotion?
With a baby. You're the father.
I'm the father.
Yes!
If you know who that actress is, call us 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
This is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip one more time.
I'm pregnant?
With emotion?
With a baby. You're the father.
I'm the father.
Yes.
And let's talk to Renee from Geneva. Hi, Renee.
Hi there. How about Katherine Heigl?
You are right, and we are Katherine Heigl fans here in the studio. You are a winner. You have won a $25 gift certificate for Lou Malnati's, home of Chicago's best deep dish pizza, my personal favorite. You can find one of their 40 Chicagoland locations and order online at loumalnati's.com. Renee, thanks so much for calling in, and we appreciate that you're listening to the show.
Well, we are such fans of your show, and you two are great on air. We really appreciate everything you do.
Oh, thank you so much for saying that, Renee. We appreciate
that. Hey, Renee, real quick, do you have a kitty cat?
I do not. I have a little poodle.
Oh, you got a poodle. You know what? That's fine. Just stay listening, because we're going to make a special announcement about Katherine Heigl, and that's why we chose her for this Celebrity Scoop. But thanks for calling, and glad you like the show.
We love it. Thanks again.
Thanks, Renee. All right, so Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cat's Pride, is here. Dan, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Carl. Glad to be back.
All right, and we are going to give away a year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter in just a little bit. Also want to say hi to Dave Weiske, who is the VP of Customer Success. Hi, Dave.
How are you doing?
All right, really good. So tell us about the Katherine Heigl Partnership.
Yeah, so a month ago, I kind of gave that little teaser that we were going to unveil a long-term partnership with really a great person and a great celebrity. It's a chance for Cat's Pride really to increase our awareness and stature throughout the cat litter category, because we've always known we had the best products, but it was almost like the world's best kept secret because we really didn't mass market.
Right.
And so we went out there looking for a celebrity to partner with, and we found a great executive producer. Can I tell them who our executive producer
was?
Sure,
if you wanted to. Wow, thanks.
Carl Amari.
Thank you very much, Dan. It was an honor. It really was. It was an honor to help put that together with you. It was really a lot of fun.
Well, it was fantastic, because we wanted to find someone that not only had the star power to bring Cat's Pride, you know, to the forefront, but also who this would be more than just a paycheck to. And so when we found Catherine and realized she had started the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which is in honor of her brother, who when he was 15, he fell out of the back of a pickup truck and he died. And so when she and her mom, who's her manager, Nancy, became rich and famous, they started a foundation in his honor. And he loved companion animals, cats and dogs. And so their foundation is focused on ending the needless suffering of companion animals. And they were funding it all themselves. But they were looking for a corporate partner that was as passionate about animals as they are. And, you know, I think I've mentioned this on the show before, but I've been on the board of the Anti-Cruelty Society for 19 years. I've been the chairman three different times. I'm very passionate. All of our dogs are rescue dogs. Bubba and Bailey are both rescue dogs from the Anti-Cruelty. And so it was just a marriage made in heaven. I can't speak highly enough about Catherine and her mom, Nancy. It's just been a great partnership. And so every time anyone buys a green jug, you look for the green jug of Cat's Pride, Fresh and Light Ultimate Care, we make a donation to the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation.
That's awesome. So if you do not use Cat's Pride now, you should switch, because, Dave, there's a great reason why, right?
Absolutely. And looking for the green jug of where you want to find it, you want to find it in a number of stores nationwide. I'm going to start with Walmart, Publix, Kroger, Albertsons, Meijer, H.E. Butt, which is in the Texas area, Wegmans, Giant Eagle, Super Value, Pet Supplies Plus, Demoulas in the Northeast in New England, Del Hayes, Wakefern, Bizzuto's, Galoob. I can go on and on.
Wow.
But it's phenomenal.
Excellent.
I mean, we're everywhere, and look for the green jug.
And also look for the Catherine Heigl television commercials that are running right now.
Can you give us a little insight into just what those TV commercials that we are watching for?
So they're very fun. Catherine plays a therapist, and when the commercial starts, you think it's either a man or a woman sort of complaining about their relationship with their significant other, and then you realize their significant other is a cat. And Catherine, of course, speaks fluent cat, and she's able to interpret and give a remedy for their problems, and it's always by Cat's Pride.
They're very humorous, and they're running right now, so look for them. Absolutely. Yeah. All right, let's pick a winner. Let's pick a lucky winner for our Cat's Pride year's supply, Cat's Pride Ultimate Care kitty litter.
All right, here we
go. Drum roll, please.
Let's see, Ray. I'll go here.
His eyes are closed.
And the winner is Kathy Clyborn and her cat, Spike, from Sauk Village, Illinois.
Sauk Village. All right. Way to go, Kathy. And to enter the contest for next month, because Dan will be here a month from now to give away another year's supply of Cat's Pride kitty litter, just take a picture of your kitty cat and send it in to us. Right, Mike?
Absolutely. CatsPridePhoto at gmail.com. Just make sure you include your name, cat's name, city, and state.
All right. Way to go,
and,
Dave.
And Carl, one more thing. You know, for those that can't get to the store, Amazon.com and Chewy.com are two great sites to pick up this
Right. And when
product.
You buy the product, a donation will go to help kitties and dogs, right? Very good. Dan, thank you so much for our association with the show. And thank you for being a sponsor to help put these radio shows on the air. We really appreciate it. And thank you, Dave.
Thanks, guys.
As well. All right. It's time for Jack Benny. We have a terrific episode. Bob Hope is the guest from March 26, 1950. Here's part one of the Jack Benny program.
The Jack Benny program. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, here we are in Palm Springs. And the star of our show is in this desert resort incognito. He put starch in his toupee so it would look like cactus. And here he is, Jack Benny.
Thank you. Hello again, this is Jack Benny talking. And Don, hasn't it been exciting here in Palm Springs these last few days? Especially yesterday when everybody was dressed up in their Western outfits and they had that big parade down the main street. I felt so proud sitting up on that horse.
Well, Jack, I saw you in the parade, and there's one thing that puzzles me.
What was that, Don?
That was a beautiful palomino you were riding, but why were you sitting on him backwards?
Backwards? Well, how do you like that? I lost my glasses, got on the horse, and nobody told me. Isn't that awful?
Well, that's ridiculous. Glasses or no glasses, anybody can tell when they're riding a horse backwards. Couldn't you see the horse's tail?
That was his tail? I thought he had long eyelashes. Now, let's change the subject. The censor is a nervous wreck. Say, Don, where are
hello,
you?
Hello, everybody. Hiya, Don.
Well, hello, Barry.
Hello, Mary.
Well, if it isn't hop along backwards.
Nobody told me. Anyway, Mary, I was in the parade, and that's all that matters.
But, Jack, even your costume didn't make sense.
What are you talking about? I thought it was very clever. It was a Western motif with a subtle touch of Palm Springs.
Only you would give it that subtle touch.
What?
Who else would wear a 10-gallon hat, spurs, and a sunsuit?
Mary, for your information, I borrowed that sunsuit from the queen of the desert circus. She was just my size.
But, Jack, you're a man. You shouldn't have worn the trunks. Why did you wear the top?
Read that right. But, Jack,
oh, I'm sorry.
Right. We'll never get off the air tonight.
But, Jack,
yeah?
You're a man.
Yeah?
You should have just worn the trunks. Why did you wear the top?
Why'd I wear the top? I had to have some place to keep my guns. Anyway, the parade is over, so let's drop the subject.
Okay.
Say, Mary, where are you living?
Oh, I'm at the Bon Air Village.
The Bon Air? That's a very nice place.
Where are you staying, Don?
Well, I'm over at Deepwell Ranch.
Deepwell? Don, why didn't you tell me? That's right next to the Palm Springs Biltmore.
Oh, are you living at the Biltmore?
Me? Well... No. You see, Don, I have a place at the far end of Palm Canyon Drive. It's called the La Cantada de Casa La Quinta de Castile Cañada.
That's a very unusual name. La Cantada de Casa La Quinta de Castilla Cañada.
Yeah.
What does it mean?
That's Spanish, but don't wash your dishes in the swimming pool.
Don't wash your dishes in the swimming pool. Some joke. That one you got right. Mary, look at it. Why do you all...
Oh, Jack, don't get mad. Here, have a date.
You can keep your dates. That's all I've had since I got down here. Dates. That's all they sell here. No matter what kind of a store you go into, they sell dates.
You're not kidding. This morning I was walking down the street and saw a sign that said, Palm Springs Maternity Hospital and Date Shop.
Maternity Hospital and Date Shop?
Their slogan is, cheaper by the dozen.
Well, it don't surprise me. The Chamber of Commerce is going to get you to take dates, even if they have
okay, to... Okay, Jackson, stand aside. Here comes Harris, the nation's pride. Phil,
just
Phil. Just a minute, Dad. Ladies and gentlemen, I do hope you'll excuse my appearance, but I've been swimming every day and my hair is a mess.
Phil, you don't have to apologize for anything, because here in Palm Springs, you're supposed to let yourself go. Have you been relaxing?
Well, I've been relaxing. Jackson, last night at 11:30, I was limp as a rag.
I know, Phil. When I passed the Chi-Chi, they were trying to close the place, but your head was in the door. Then when you came out, you put a nickel in the parking meter and asked me if I'd like to dance.
Oh, is that you in the sunsuit?
Yes. What are you laughing at?
I gave your phone number to Remley.
Oh, fine.
Say, Phil, there sure has been a lot of excitement around here the last few days, hasn't there?
You said it, Livo. You know, this circus week is a big thing in Palm Springs. I read that people come here from all over the world.
All over the world?
Sure, it was in this morning's paper. I got the clipping right here. It says that during circus week, there are people here from France, India, and Asia.
France, India, and Asia? Let me see that clipping. Oh, that's Fresno, Indio, and Azusa. Phil, when are you going to learn to read?
All right, Jackson, all right, so I made a little mistake. At least I don't ride a horse backwards.
Oh, you don't, eh? Well, what would you do if you lost your glasses?
I'd drink it right out of the bottle.
No, nope. That goes for all of you. Now, I don't want any more silly talk
here.
Hello,
Mr. Benny.
Oh, hello, Dennis.
Yeah, that's the first portion of the Jack Benny program from March 26, 1950. The special guest will be Bob Hope. Let's take a break here on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, it is 11:36. I am your host, Carl Amari. And to my right, Lisa Wolf, my co-host in the booth, the best in the business, Dan Long, our producer. And Mike Costello is somewhere around here. I don't know where, but he's around.
He's having a little snick snack.
He is. We have we have some food to talk about in a little bit. I'm telling you, I'm eating some good food, Lisa.
I'm watching you eat that good food.
Yeah?
That's from Big Iron Horse, which is out in Barrington, but they cater. So we will be talking to them now.
Very good.
Shortly.
Well, we need to get back to Jack Benny, though, first. Bob Hope is the special guest. Let's go back to March 26, 1950, for the conclusion to the Jack Benny program.
Dennis, it's about time you got here. Where have you been?
Oh, I was out in the hall trying to make a phone call, and the funniest thing happened.
What was it?
I put a nickel in the phone, couldn't get my party, and a date came back.
What?
How they got a buffalo on one side of it, I'll never know.
They have ways, Dennis, believe me. Now, look, kid, we have a long show to do, so let's have your song.
Okay. Oh, by the way, Mr. Benny, did you see the parade yesterday?
Yes, I saw.
Oh, boy, what stunts and tricks.
I know. Let's have your song.
An old man was riding backwards.
Dennis, that man riding backwards was Mr. Benny.
Oh, sing, kid.
Yes, you better, brother.
Like a lovely tune, beware my foolish heart. How white the ever constant moon. Take care, my foolish heart. There's a line between love and fascination. That's hard to see on an evening such as this, for they both give the very same sensation when you're lost in the magic of a kiss. Her lips are much too close to mine. Beware my foolish heart. But should our eager lips combine, then let the fire start. For this time it isn't fascination or a dream that will fade and fall apart. It's love, this time it's love, my foolish heart. But should our eager lips combine, then let the fire. This time it isn't fascination or a dream that will fade and fall apart. It's love, this time it's love, my foolish heart.
was Dennis Day singing My Foolish Heart from a picture of the same name. And now...
That's a silly title for a picture.
What?
Of the same name.
That's not the title. And now...
Oh, Jack.
What is it, Mary?
I've been meaning to tell you I bought a copy of Quick Magazine this morning, and there's a story in it about you.
Quick Magazine? In this week's issue?
Yes, Mr. Benny, and your picture's on the cover.
My picture, too? Gee, how do I look, Dennis?
Why don't you spend a dime and find out?
I'm going to buy one, Dennis, but I can't leave in the middle of a broadcast.
Oh, isn't it over yet?
No! And that reminds me, we're still waiting for Bob Hope. He's our guest star.
Who's
I wonder where he can be.
Maybe he's playing golf.
I don't care what he's doing. He's supposed to be here. I'm going to send Rochester out to look for him. Oh, Rochester! Rochester!
You want me, Mr. Benny?
Yes, Rochester, Mr. Hope hasn't arrived yet. Will you go out and look for him?
I don't think I ought to leave now, boss.
Why not?
Well, I just finished making that lemonade like you told me to, and I'm waiting for the audience to come out.
Well, let that go for the time being, because...
Just a minute, Jack. Rochester, do you mean Mr. Benny is making you sell lemonade to the people after the show?
Yes, ma'am. I've got 50 gallons out there.
Well, that's a new one. Jack, how do you know they'll be thirsty?
Oh, Mr. Benny made sure of that when the people came in.
What'd he do?
He locked the door, shut the window, started the show, and turned off the air conditioning.
Rochester.
And if that doesn't do it, on goes the heat.
Never mind that. Now, look, Rochester, Bob Hope hasn't shown up yet, and I'm worried about it. I want you to go out and see if you can find him.
Boss, that's a mighty big job. You know, Mr. Hope gets around awful fast.
Don't worry about that, Rochester. You can catch him.
I don't know. Mr. Paley couldn't catch him, and he's got better bait than I have.
All right. Go out and see if you can find him.
Okay, boss.
Say, Jack, I didn't know Bob was going to be with us today. How'd that happen?
Well, I told him I was going to be in Palm Springs, so... Hey, maybe that's him now. Come in.
Mr. Benny?
Yes?
Just a minute. Come in, Dobbin. That's Mr. Benny there, see?
Wait a minute. What's this?
This is the horse you rode in the parade. He didn't get to see you, Dan.
Oh. Well, what do you know? He really has got long eyelashes, hasn't he? Thanks very much.
You're welcome.
You know, radio's amazing. Radio is really amazing. A horse knows enough to show up on time, but not Hope. Well, as long as he isn't here yet, Don, we might as well do the commercial. Where's the Sportsman Quartet?
Well, Jack, don't you remember? Back in Hollywood, you had a discussion with them about their expenses.
Oh, yes, they won't be here. Now, then what are we going to do, Don?
Well, Jack, you're very fortunate. You've heard the Guadalajara Trio at the Dollhouse, haven't you?
The Guadalajara Trio? Yes.
Well, through an interpreter, they agreed to come over and sing on the program today.
Through an interpreter?
Yes, you see, the boys don't speak a word of English.
Oh, well, how are they going to do the commercial?
Well, they know exactly what I want.
Well, good. Are the boys here?
Yeah. Come on in, fellas. Fellas, this is Senor Jack Benny.
Buenos días, señor.
Merci beaucoup. Now, Don, what song have they prepared... Oh, excuse me a minute. Hello?
Hello, Mr. Benny, this is Rochester.
Oh, have you found Mr. Hope yet?
No, but I've got a line on him. When he left your rehearsal, he went to the golf course and played 2.5 holes of golf.
2.5 holes?
Yeah, a crowd gathered on the third fairway, and he did a personal appearance.
Oh, was it Mr. Hope? Did Mr. Hope leave the golf course then?
Yeah, from there he went to the dunes for something to eat. Then he stopped at the income tax office, and then he went...
Wait a minute, Roger. The income tax office is closed on Sunday.
For him, they keep it open.
Oh, yes. Well, keep looking, Rochester. You gotta find him.
Okay.
All right, Don, let's have the Guadalajara Trio. What number are they gonna sing?
Quizá, quizá, quizá.
Good. Take it, boys. Dennis, you speak Spanish, don't you?
Oh, sí, señor.
Well, tell them to start their song.
Señores, comiencen la cantata, por favor.
Thank you.
Si
Siempre que te pregunto que cuándo, cómo y dónde, tú siempre me respondes, quizá, quizá, sí, sí.
That was Kisa, 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 sung by the Guadalajara Trio, and very good boys. Dennis, tell them they were very good.
Muy bien, señores.
And thanks for appearing on our program, boys. It was really a pleasure listening to you.
Él nos dijo que viniéramos. Será bueno pedirle el dinero ahorita.
Él no paga nada. Nunca tuvo intenciones.
Oh, no sean tontos. Ustedes creen que nos van a pagar. Están locos.
What did they say, Dennis?
One guy said they were going to be paid for singing here tonight, and the other two said he was crazy.
Look, I'll pay him. Tell him I'll see him tomorrow.
He'll see you tomorrow, fellas.
Tell him in Spanish. I can tell him in English. Anyway, boys, you were swell. Swell, really. I can't understand Bob Hope. The program is half over. Boys, I said you were swell. I'll see you tomorrow. Adios. Adios. Mañana. I told Bob 1,000 times we go on at 4 o'clock. The horse, I only had to tell once. You'd think that's... Hello?
Hello, boss. This is Rochester again.
How are you doing? You found Mr. Hope yet?
No, boss, and I've looked all over the... That's him, boss. That's Mr. Hope. He just went by.
Well, good. Maybe you can... What was that?
His car is trying to catch up with him.
Gee.
I think you're in luck, boss. He's heading your direction.
Well, I hope he can make it. Jack, I'm sorry I'm late. Bob! Well, thanks. Bob, I'm glad you finally...
Please, I'll take it. Thank you. How do you do?
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? This is Bob Palm Springs Cowboy Hope saying, I've been out horseback riding on the desert where the colors turn every hue... In front, orange, pink, and gold, and in the rear, black and blue.
Well,
this is Western Week, and I went on one of those sunrise breakfast rides this morning. You know what a breakfast ride is? That's where everybody gets up at dawn and picks a horse to sleep on. Now, Bob, please, no autographs. They gave a... They gave me a nice horse today. It was so sway back, they call him Hudson. You had to step down onto him. We left 6 footprints as we went along. What a horse. When he got tired of running, he just pulled up his legs and rocked. John,
Bob,
come closer to the mic.
Look,
Bob, we have stuff here together.
I can't have no time for you. But the weather...
Bob, don't ad-lib. You're getting 5 cents a word.
Mary didn't. I'm a guest, please. I got more here, you know, but the weather is wonderful here. The afternoons are so warm you can get a bad case of sunburn just hauling home enough fuel oil to get through the night. Strange lettering. Say, listening. And this sun makes you so lazy, the rattlesnakes don't even rattle. They just reach over and turn on a Cougat record. Yes, sir. They have a nice wind that comes up here every so often. Nice wind. I don't even know why Sinatra bought a house here. He spends most of his time walking back from Indio. This is my program.
Nothing for the tailor, please.
Frankie has to be careful of the sun. The other day he got a freckle on his chest and 3 ribs caved in. And they're so proud of the healthy climate down here. If someone dies, they don't bury him. They just prop him up in the Chi-Chi bar and people think he's waiting for his 3rd zombie.
Bob.
Oh, are you still here?
Of course I'm here. This is my program.
Really? Which one are you, Lum or Abner?
Now, just a minute. Look, Bob, I've been waiting.
Oh, hello, Don.
Oh, hello, Bob. It's good to see you again.
Say, good to see you, too. Say, Don, I saw you in the parade yesterday.
Me in the parade?
Yeah, wasn't someone riding you backwards?
Bob, that was a Palomino. I was riding him backwards.
Palomino?
Yeah, that's a horse of another color. Hey, how was that, Bob?
Fine, Lum. How do you do, ladies?
Now, wait a minute. Why don't you...
Hello, Bob.
Hello, Mary.
Say, I heard you did wonderful business at the Paramount Theater in New York.
Yeah, it was great, Mary. And after that, I made personal appearances in Syracuse, Cincinnati, Owensburg, Kentucky, St. Louis, Kansas City, and Denver.
Really?
And I'm also scheduled to appear in Minneapolis, New York, Boston, and Salt Lake City.
Well, gee, Bob, when do you expect to be home?
I'm booked there Christmas week.
Look, Bob.
Oh, have you something to say, cover boy?
Cover? Cover boy?
Yeah, I saw your picture on Quack.
Bob, that's Quick, not Quack.
You look like Donald Duck.
Oh! Thank you, Abner. Now, as long as you're here...
Wolf, can I play golf with you and your friends again tomorrow?
Yeah, kid. You can play with us anytime you want to.
Dennis, you play golf?
Uh-huh. And Mr. Hope says I'm playing better all the time. Yesterday, he let me carry 2 bags.
But, Dennis, you're not carrying...
Jack, he's happy. Let him alone.
Okay. Say, Bob, how about you and I having a game of golf tomorrow?
Oh, fine, Jack. The usual wager?
Yeah, that makes a nice, interesting bet.
What do you usually play for?
A right or a hole.
And I'll tell you what, Bob, I'll get George Burns and Al Jolson. We'll have a foursome.
Well, look, can't you get someone else instead of Jolson? He and I don't play golf together anymore.
Why? What happened?
Well, look, Jack, would you play golf with a man who whistles when you tee off, kicks the ball to improve his lie, and cheats on the score?
No, I certainly wouldn't.
Well, neither will Jolson.
You see, when you stick to the script, it isn't bad either. Case, Bob. I don't blame you. Now, who's that? Hello? What? Portland, Oregon, calling Bob Hope? Bob, it's for you.
Holy smoke, no wonder they're calling. Look what time it is.
Huh?
Well, it's 4:27. I have to be in Portland by 4:45.
4:45? Well, Bob, that's ridiculous. You can't make it.
Oh, yes, I can. Come in.
Mr. Hope?
Yes?
Your flying saucer is ready.
I'll be right there. So long, Mary.
But, Bob!
So long, Lum.
How do you like that? Not only is he late getting here, but when he does show up, he doesn't stay long enough.
Que nos pague para irnos.
Le dije que no nos iba a pagar nada. ¿Qué se puede esperar de un hombre como Jack Benny?
Now, wait a minute, fellas. Wait a minute. I told you I'd take care of you tomorrow. Mañana. Mañana. Please, fellas, mañana.
Lam says mañana.
Oh, quiet! Come on, Mary. Let's rush over to the maternity hospital. I want to get some dates. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to thank Bob Hope for this brief encounter. He will soon be seen in his new Paramount picture called Fancy Pants from the sunsuit of the same name. You can open the door now, Rochester.
Lemonade! Get your ice-cold lemonade here. 20 cents a glass. Ice-cold lemonade.
Rochester, stop that horse from drinking out of the bowl. Come on, Mary.
Que nos pague para irnos.
Boys, I told you, mañana, mañana. Here, have a glass of lemonade.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
Probably the most famous radio comedian of all time. Jack Benny right there, along with special guest Bob Hope from March 26, 1950, is heard on CBS. Jack and all the gang there. Let's take a quick break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Roger thinks it's himself.
Right. I'm not sure who is up there either.
We
Roger,
think it's
is
you.
That you?
I don't know. Let me check my label.
Let's see.
Yeah, it looks like you.
Mom sewed in a label for camp.
It looks like you, Raj.
Thank
From
you
here,
so much.
It looks absolutely like you. So
really?
I wouldn't worry.
Okay.
There's not been a... what was that show? The Pods? Remember that?
Yeah.
The Pods? Gosh, what was the name?
The Alien Duplicates?
Something Snatchers?
Yeah.
Something.
Invasion of the Body Snatchers.
Yeah.
Yeah, Invasion of the Body Snatchers. And the original had the guy from, what was his name? He was, I'll think of it.
It was a black and white version.
Yeah, but right. then... Yeah. But then there was a another there was a remake.
Mm-hmm.
That's
and it
the
had
one that I saw.
Kiefer it had the Sutherland. It had the father, Donald Sutherland, mm-hmm. in it. Remember?
Yeah.
Or no?
The original was better.
Yeah, the original.
Original way.
Yeah,
better.
The original. I'm trying to think who that was. I met him one time at a Twilight Zone convention. Can't remember his name right now. I digress. It is it is 12:08. And this is the WGN Radio Theater. We have lots of fun playing old-time radio shows here. Lisa and I, we get a kick out of these classic radio shows. And Lisa's dad, Mr. Matanky, he should stick around for the third hour, Lisa, because we have Gunsmoke. I know your dad's a big Western fan.
I'll see if I can get him to stay awake for
yeah.
us.
But in this hour, a show that you're really going to like. You've never heard this before.
I haven't.
The First Nighter program. It's all about a Broadway opening. You are going to like it. I'll tell you that.
I'm interested.
Absolutely. All right. All of this is brought to you by Cat's Pride.
It's time for Celebrity Scoop. Brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actress stars as Belle in the upcoming fantasy musical Beauty and the Beast, based on the fairy tale and the 1991 Disney animated musical.
All right.
So we are going to be giving away a $25 gift certificate for the Big Iron Horse. It's a barbecue restaurant and catering in the Chicago area and southern Wisconsin area. And if you, if you can identify this movie clip.
Yeah, well, we're going to play a movie clip, but the number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. Here's a little hint. She played Hermione, right?
Hermione.
In the Harry Potter series.
You foul, loathsome, evil little cockroach!
Hermione. Yeah,
you
I never
have to
watched,
say it with the accent.
You know, I've never watched any of these movies.
I've never seen any of them either.
What?
Not a one.
I'm one of those people who want to read the book first, and I never end up reading the books. So
yeah,
well,
it'll take a couple of years.
Not
so we'll wait.
One. All right, call us 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
And this is the WGN Radio Theater. We are playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
You foul, loathsome, evil little cockroach. Hermione, no.
That's what Lisa calls me.
And Hermione?
Dirty little cockroach. She calls me up and just yells at me. And
I'd rather call
so
you Hermione.
She's so mean to me all week long.
Nobody's going to believe that because I am way nicer than you are.
Really?
We all know that.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. We've got Chris on the line from Roselle. Hey, Chris.
Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Good. Can you recognize that celebrity's voice?
Emma Watson.
You are right. Chris, you are a winner. You have won a $25 gift card for the Big Iron Horse. It is a barbecue and catering restaurant in Barrington, and they do catering all over Chicago area and southern Wisconsin. We hope that you will appreciate it. We're going to be talking to them a little bit later in the show, and the food is absolutely delicious.
It really, really
is.
Okay,
good. That's great.
Great. Yep. Thank you so much for calling in, Chris.
Way okay, thank
go.
You. I really enjoy your show.
Thank you.
Thanks, Chris.
Okay.
Before we tune into the First Nighter program, you mentioned tasty food. Well, I got to tell you, our sponsor, Mies Meals, has tasty food. Right, Mike? Right, Lisa?
Yes.
Yes, they do.
All right, so they are running a special, and we're going to talk about this, though. This is a special for all of our listeners. We will talk about that special, but Lisa wanted to say something first, right?
Did I? I was going to mention that I made a Mies Meals for dinner tonight, and it was absolutely delicious.
What'd you make?
It was udon noodles with kung pao sauce, and it had vegetables, edamame, and red peppers, and it was absolutely delicious. So I really do appreciate having it delivered right to my door every week.
Well, you know, Mies Meals serves a lot of different categories of people. You know, they could be busy kind of professional people, or you could be empty nesters, or you can be like me. I'm a single dad. And my son lives with me, and it's perfect for me because I'm working 7 days a week practically. And so it's as easy for me. I do Monday, Wednesday, Friday with Mies Meals, and it gives me a break in the action. I don't have to order food or take my son out. I can just make it myself. It's done in like less than 20 minutes. He helps me. It's all prepared, and it's brought right to my door. You cook it, but all of the ingredients are all chopped up, ready to go.
And for people that might be difficult for them to get to the grocery store, to drive there, to go shopping, to bring it home, to put everything away, it makes it really easy to have it delivered to your door. You make the choice of what you want to cook and when you want to cook it. And it's pretty fast and pretty easy. So I don't think it gets better than that.
Right. All the prep work is done for you. No chopping, no measuring. And you know what I love about it, too? It's not a subscription service. There are some of these food places where it's you have to sign up and it's a subscription, all that. Well, it's not like that. You just order when you want to order, and you don't order when you don't want to order. It's really, really great. So check out Meez Meals. Just go to their website, MeezMeals.com.
Yes. And it's on our Facebook, and right now we have a limited time special. If you go to the website, and you can choose any dinner for two that you'd like, delivered right to your door, absolutely free, no strings attached. All you need to do is enter promo code RADIO, and we hope that you'll try it out. We all love Meez Meals, and we feel confident that you will love it too.
Right. This is a limited time offer, and I tell you, you cannot go wrong. So go to Meez Meals, MeezMeals.com. Check out all of their items. They change the items every single week. Like there's 10 new things on the menu every single week, and you just order what you want. They bring it right to your door, and you cook it. And Mike, you've been loving it too.
I'm ordering it every week. And in fact, this week I have like bistro steak with pesto penne coming in, herb roasted chicken with fingerling potatoes. So I dig it.
Very good. And you know what? I used to make fun of Lisa because she's, you know, you're good at everything, but cooking.
Best cook.
You know,
admit
cooking
it.
Not the best. But you've got it all.
I make some great stuff. I'm going to post a picture of the dinner that I made tonight for me and my husband. Just the two of us. We had dinner.
Very good.
You'll be very impressed.
This is the Kung Pao.
It is.
All right. Very good. Dan, did you want to take a break or do something?
You guys were talking about Body Snatchers before, and the actor there, that is Kevin McCarthy, per Nick DiGilio.
Oh.
Kevin McCarthy, yes. I met Kevin McCarthy. I have a picture on my wall of me and Kevin McCarthy. He was at a Twilight Zone convention years ago. He was a little crabby. He was a little bit crabby.
Well, you know, you could be a little crabby, too,
I don't
Carl.
Think he wanted to be there, Dan, to tell you the truth.
Yeah. A lot of people at those conventions don't.
Yeah, they don't want to be there. He didn't want to be there. Yeah, but he did take a picture with me, so I appreciate that.
That was nice.
Yeah. All right, well, thank Nick DiGilio for that. All right, it's time for this show that I think you will like, Lisa. It's the First Nighter program. Let me tell you a little bit about it. It was an anthology series. Mostly they were comedy and drama. It premiered in 1930. It started way back in 1930, ran until 1953, so 23 years. It was the show's opening recreation of the oral atmosphere of a Broadway opening night. That's what caught everyone's attention. You'll hear this. It's like he's walking down the street, and it's opening night on Broadway. You've done this a million times,
that's
right?
That's my thing.
And so McDonald Carey from Days of Our Lives was one of the first Mr. First Nighters. Also Brett Morrison, Marvin Miller, Don Briggs, Rye Billsbury. And as I say, mostly romantic comedies and dramas. Don Ameche was one of the stars of this show, along with Les Tremaine, Barbara Luddy. It was sponsored by Campana Hand Lotion. We're going to tune this in. Let's go back to August 6, 1953. This is called Two Loves Had She, part one now of the First Nighter program.
NBC presents The First Nighter Program, starring Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule. Theater time on the Great White Way. And once again, ladies and gentlemen, we're about to attend the premiere of a new show at the Little Theater off Times Square. Here is our host for the evening, the genial First Nighter.
Good evening. My cab is waiting. Won't you step in? All right, driver, to the Little Theater. Up Broadway, across 42nd Street, past gay crowds and twinkling signs into the heart of theaterland. There ahead is the Little Theater off Times Square. Well, here we are.
Have your tickets ready, please.
Good evening, Mr. First Nighter. The usher will show you to your seats.
Thank you. We'll go right in. Tonight's play is a bright and broad comedy entitled Two Loves Had She by Anthony Wayne, starring Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule, featuring Verna Felton and produced and directed by Joseph T. Amey.
Curtain. First curtain.
There's the signal for first curtain. The house lights are out. And here's the play.
Nana! Nana!
Oh, stop shouting like a hog caller.
Well, where are you?
Out here in the sunroom.
Oh, for goodness sakes. Nana, Nana, I'm in a hideous predicament.
What again?
Oh, but this is serious, Nana. I may be jailed for bigamy.
Well, you can't... For what?
Bigamy. Isn't that when a girl has one husband too many?
No, not necessarily. You can have one husband too many and still not be a bigamist. But how'd you get into this?
Well, I didn't mean to, but I'm engaged to two men.
Engaged? Oh, well, that's a relief. At least you haven't married them.
Well, it's no relief to me. They both expect to marry me.
Occurs to me you have only one solution.
Yes? What's that?
Shoot yourself.
Oh, please be serious, Nana. I've got to get out of this.
All right. What do I have to do?
Who said you had to do anything?
No one, but I will. I'm always pulling your chestnuts out of the fire.
Henry and Barry are not chestnuts.
Well, they'll be burned plenty when they discover they've only a half interest.
Well, as long as you want to help, here's what I had in mind.
Yes?
Well, you see, I'm not really sure which one I like the best, but as long as it's got to be one, I've decided on Henry.
Very white of you, I think.
Well, now, the question is what to do about Barry.
Yes. When are you going to tell him he's out on his ear?
Oh, nothing as crude as that. Barry's a darling, really. I'll always want him for a friend.
You two ought to be lifelong friends after you've kicked him in the slats.
Well, I think Barry's fickle.
The wretch.
And I have a plan worked out. I'll just make him fall in love with another girl. And then he'll ask to break our engagement, see? Now, I just know that Barry's the type who'd fall for Daphne Ward. So I'm arranging a house party up at the summer cottage. I'm inviting Henry and Barry and Daphne, and you're to be the chaperone.
Chaperone or referee?
I'm positive it'll solve everything, Nana.
Yes, you've got something there. It should either cure him or kill him.
Then you'll go?
Babs, I wouldn't miss it for the world. Just a minute. Yes?
Oh, how do you do?
I do all right. What do you want?
Is Miss Babs Chapin here?
No, she's gone down to the station to meet some guests.
Oh, well, I'm one of the guests.
Well, why aren't you down at the station?
I didn't come on the train. I drove up.
Well, leave your car outside and come in.
Thank you. I suppose you're Babs' grandmother.
But I hope you didn't think I was her niece.
No.
Are you two engaged?
Yes. Did she tell you?
No, but I could tell by the silly look on your face.
Oh, gosh, does it show that much?
What, your face?
No, I mean...
Never mind. Well, which one are you?
My name's Barry Thomas.
I see.
Say.
Huh?
Do you know a man up here with one leg named Wilson?
I'm not sure. What's the name of his other leg?
Oh, my. He used to live here 15 years ago. But I guess he's gone now.
Mm.
Hey, you've certainly got a grand spot here.
Think so?
Mm.
Well, the roof leaks, the floors creak, the doors won't shut, and the screens won't fit. Otherwise, it's fine.
Have you any idea where Babs wants to park me?
I think she's giving you the room at the end of the hall on the second floor. You can put your things up there if you want to.
Yeah, I think I will.
Oh, dear. Here comes the rest of them.
Hey, Nana, is there any word from Barry?
Yes, he's here.
Oh, swell. Come on, Henry and Daphne.
Well, well. So this is Henry and Daphne. Which one is Henry?
Chapin, aren't you a scream? I'm Daphne.
What have you been doing, rolling in the mud?
Can you imagine, Nana? Daphne was standing on the curb waiting to cross the street, and a car came whizzing by.
And positively drenched me with mud from head to foot.
Yeah, a fella like that ought to have his license taken away.
Oh, Henry's been so considerate of me coming up on the train.
So you're Henry.
Discovered at last.
But where is Barry, Nana?
He's upstairs unpacking.
I'm just dying to meet him, Dad.
Oh, he's a lamb. You'll be crazy about him, Daphne.
Yeah, he's just precious, Daphne.
Oh, now shush, Henry. Don't be jealous.
Jealous? Why, I'm not jealous.
The idea, Babs. Why, if he's jealous, I'm your grandmother.
Well, that's absolutely... Hey, wait a minute. You are her grandmother.
You said it.
Well, suppose I show you to your... Oh, hello, Barry.
Hello, Babs. Hi, Henry.
Barry, dear, I want you to meet Dad.
He's the one! That's the man. I'd know him anywhere.
Daphne, what in heaven's name are you talking about?
That's the man who splashed me.
Barry?
Uh-oh. What is this?
I suppose you don't remember driving through a puddle in town this morning and splattering mud all over Daphne?
He did it on purpose and then turned and stuck out his tongue at me.
Why, I'm sure you must be mistaken, Daphne.
Wait a minute. Are you the dizzy twit who was powdering her nose in the middle of Jackson Street this morning?
Dizzy twit?
He means you.
I'll have you know you ruined my dress. Just look at me now.
Must I?
Now, you just watch your language there, Barry.
Because of that fool girl posing out in the street, I almost hit a lamppost.
Well, it's too bad you didn't.
Now, please, I wanted you two to be friends.
Friends? They act like they're married.
I think he's the most objectionable person I've ever met.
Darling, if I'd gone straight this morning instead of through the mud puddle, you wouldn't even be thinking now. You'd be a grease spot on Jackson Street.
The man's a savage.
He's wonderful.
Now, stop it. Stop it, all of you. I'd think the least you could do would be polite to each other as long as you're all my guests.
I never want to see that awful man again.
Deliver me from a female like that.
I'm going to my room. Where is it, Babs?
First room on the right. You're directly across the hall, Henry.
Come on, Daphne. I'll take your things up.
I'll go put my car up.
Oh, all my swell plans.
You know, I'm afraid Barry is too fickle for Daphne.
Oh, hush.
You got a nice, chummy crowd.
What'll I do, Nana? Barry simply got to fall for Daphne.
You might try tripping him.
I think I know what to do.
What?
Just wait and see. I'll fix this.
And the curtain comes down on the first act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking in the outer lobby and downstairs, please. Smoking in the outer lobby and downstairs, please.
Curtain. Second curtain. The first nighters are hurrying down the aisles to their seats. The lights have dimmed, and here's the second act of Two Loves Had She.
Wait a minute, Barry.
Well, Henry and Daphne are in the water already. Aren't you coming?
Yeah, but I want to talk to you for a second.
Oh, sure.
Sit down here on the sand.
Anything you say, my love. What's on the fire?
Why don't you be nice to Daphne?
Well, I'm engaged to you, aren't I?
Yes, of course, but she's my guest, and I want her to have a good time.
Well, Henry seems to have taken quite a shine to her.
Yes, but you ought to be nice to her.
I like you best.
Nonsense. Look at that cute figure. Mine can't compare with hers.
Oh, I know it can't, but I'm still...
What?
I said I know it doesn't.
Is that so?
Well, you said it couldn't, didn't you?
Well, yes, but you don't have to agree so readily.
All right. All right, then. She's got a figure like the letter H.
Well, the real reason is Daphne's pretty crazy about you.
Well, as long as you're going... She's what?
Well, she really is, Barry. She was standing in the street this morning trying to attract your attention. She wanted to ride up here with you.
Is that on the level?
Oh, she really has it bad.
Oh, the poor kid.
Yeah. So you see, a little attention would mean a lot to her.
Yeah, you're right, Babs. I'll give the kid a break.
Swell. Let's go in the water now.
Say, Babs, will you pin this dress for me?
Sure, hold still.
You know, Barry's really rather nice, isn't he?
Yes.
I think he is. He was just darling to me down at the beach this morning. He's been so nice to me all afternoon. Do you think I ought to be nice to him?
Well, I think...
I think he's sorry for what he did. But Henry is such a lamb, Babs. Honestly, he's the cutest thing. Don't you like him?
Well, I think...
I don't know whether I like Henry or Barry the best. Which do you like the best, Ab?
Well, as between Henry and Barry,
well, Henry's more of a gentleman, but Barry is quite dashing. And he's been so attentive. Where does he live?
Well, down
but
on...
But you know what Henry said this afternoon? He said Barry was notorious for having an awful line. But psychologically, he's unsound. Do you believe that?
Well, I...
But all men have a line. You just got to be smarter than they are. I always say, whenever a man
Wait
has a real...
Wait a minute.
Why, Bob?
For heaven's sake, turn off your motor and park a while. Give me a chance to tell you something.
Well, I haven't said a word.
Barry is gaga about you.
Oh, well, how nice of him.
Mm-hmm. He was asking me about you this morning. You see, he's a little nearsighted, and that's the reason he splashed you yesterday. But he's just fallen for you in a pitiful way, Daphne.
How tragic! What do you think I ought to do about it?
Oh, make him feel at ease. Let him tell you how he feels. You know, you might feel the same way yourself.
Oh, well, I wouldn't want Henry to feel badly, but Barry is so precious. All right, Bab. I'll let him pour out his little heart.
Well, you'll be doing a good deed, Daphne.
All right, Lisa, what do you think? That's the first portion of the First Nighter program.
I'm shocked that I have never heard this radio show before.
They should call this the Lisa Wolf program.
That would make more sense to me.
From August 6, 1953, Two Loves Had She, starring Olin Soule and Barbara Luddy, as heard on NBC. We'll get back to that after the news, but it is time for the news now. Or do we have a spot? Let's do a break. We'll be right back. All right, we're back. It is 12:40, and we're in the midst of tuning into the First Nighter program. We'll get back to that in just a moment, but I got to tell you, Lisa, you have not stopped putting food into your mouth since Scott Hansen from Big Iron Horse came here and brought all this amazing food. And Lisa...
Yeah, just me. I'm the only one that's been eating tonight. Everybody is watching me, and I'm just the eater here.
I hope people are watching us on WGN TV or whatever the... What is it? WGN.com?
WGNradio.com.
Say it again.
WGNradio.com.
Yeah. If so, they saw Lisa stuffing herself with food. Scott Hansen, how are you, my friend? How you doing?
I'm awesome. Thank you, Carl.
Yeah, it's great to have you in. You have an incredible restaurant in Barrington called Big Iron Horse, and it is some of the best food. I mean, it is amazing food, and we've been eating it, and everybody. In fact,
nope,
people,
just me. Come on, let's tell it like it is.
From the whole, all of WGN, all the floors have been coming down and eating it. And tell us a little bit about Big Iron Horse.
Big Iron Horse is Chicago's only fusion-style barbecue featuring flavors and cooking techniques of the Southwest and the Caribbean.
Ah, that's what I'm tasting. When
Can
I taste
you give us an idea of your background, which led to this fusion?
Well, my background isn't the barbecue side of it. It is an Italian-based cooking. I've worked in many kitchens throughout the Chicago area. And what started the barbecue was my interest in... these little taqueras and Caribbean-style restaurants in the Chicago area, and that's where I'd visit on my time off.
Mm.
So I needed a little inspiration, and I decided I'd make the change, and that's what we're going for. And so we decided to open up Big Iron Horse Barbecue.
Let's talk about some of the specials.
The specials. Well, as Lisa liked, she was digging the Granny's apple salad. That's been a key component of our success as far as the salad side. And the spicy smokehouse salad is the other one. The barbecue pork that you guys all had, we did a pork shank. We call them pork wings.
Mm-hmm.
And then those are dusted with either a Caribbean jerk rub or a barbecue rub, and then topped off with barbecue sauce or a sweet molasses-based Caribbean jerk sauce.
I had ribs that were like unbelievable. They melted in my mouth. What kind of ribs are those?
Those are very Chicago-ish. Those are a baby back pork rib.
Mm.
And
amazing.
I noticed people were enjoying the pulled pork sandwich. Is that a big seller at your restaurant?
It is. It is. We do it a little bit differently. We use some of the same ingredients that we use in our salads as rub ingredients. We start with a cumin, ginger, and cinnamon rub. We spice it up with a little cayenne. We then slow smoke them. It's served on a salted soft pretzel roll with garnished up with a little chopped cilantro.
I mean, it's amazing stuff. Now here's the great news. They're in Barrington, so you know our listeners all over Chicagoland, they cater. Big Iron Horse caters. And so just go to their website, which is bigironhorse.com, correct?
That's correct. It's a great website. It has a lot of information and some stuff that's coming up in the future as well.
Yeah, you definitely, I am absolutely catering my next party with you, Scott.
Awesome.
100%. And I'm going to show up. You cater all throughout Chicagoland and in southern Wisconsin, so we should have a big area that you
absolutely
work with.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and if you do go into your location and the address is?
We're at 117 South Huff Street in downtown Barrington. It's right, it's Route 59, just south of Lake Cook Road on the east side.
If you go in there, mention WGN Radio for the next month, you're going to get a really cool dessert, right, with an entree?
Yeah, we just started off with this vanilla bean and salted caramel gelato root beer float. It's really great stuff.
Absolutely free with any entree. Just go in there and mention WGN,
yep.
Right?
Yeah, go to our Facebook page. You can see a photo of some of the items that I ate this evening. And you can check out the website and some of the pictures. And maybe I'll send a couple of pictures of Carl eating.
It's bigironhorse.com. They cater all over the place, so check them out. And Scott Hansen, great having you on the show, my friend.
Awesome, Carl. It was great having you here. Thank you too, Lisa.
Terrific food. All right, let's get back now to the First Nighter program.
Nana, it's working like a charm.
What is?
My plans for Barry and Daphne, haven't you noticed?
Confidentially, no.
Oh, but it's wonderful. I told each of them that the other was just lovesick. Now they're like two doves.
Squabs, you mean.
They're being so nice to each other. Poor Henry. Up till now, he's had to entertain Daphne, but now Barry's in there, positively showering her with attention.
What's Henry doing between the raindrops?
Well, I haven't told him yet that he doesn't have to stay with Daphne, so he's still standing by.
Yes, like a dog after a bone.
Oh, Nana, I'm so relieved. Now, if Daphne will just play her cards right, she'll have Barry.
I think Daphne knows her cards pretty well. She's doing okay with a pair of jacks right now.
What do you mean?
Look out the window.
Where?
There. The three of them getting on horses.
Well, they're going riding. Well, I don't want to be left here alone.
Run then, run.
Henry! 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 Hey, wait a minute. Hey! Oh, shucks. They're gone.
Looks like Daffy's doing all right.
What? Oh, they'll be back.
You hope.
Hi, Babs.
Hello, Barry.
You busy?
No. Where's Daphne?
Went down to the post office with Henry.
Oh. Well, sit down.
Yeah, I wanted to talk to you alone for a second.
Yes? There isn't a soul in sight.
Yeah. I hardly know how to begin.
Aren't you having a good time, Barry?
Oh, it's nothing like that. These last 4 days have been wonderful.
You've been awfully nice to Daphne.
Yeah, well, that's what I wanted to talk to you about.
Daphne?
Yeah, in a way.
In what way?
A serious way. What would you think, Babs, if we were to break our engagement?
Barry, you don't mean it.
Oh, now, please, Babs, don't take it too hard. I know it's a shock, but, well, I just can't help myself.
Oh, you mean you really love her?
She's just stolen my heart. Oh, she's so cute, and I'm so fickle.
Well, I wouldn't want to stand in the way of your happiness.
Oh, I knew you'd take it this way, Babs. Besides, you'll learn to forget me in a few years.
Yes, I'll learn to forget... In a few years?
Well, sure you will, Babs. And thanks for being so understanding about it.
Not at all, Barry, not at all.
Why don't you two go out and help Henry and Daphne in with the packages?
Daphne? Well, I didn't know she was back. I'll go right out.
Hey, what's the matter with him? He acts like he was shot out of a gun.
Nana, it's worked. It's worked. He's fallen for Daphne.
So what?
I'm free. Free to marry Henry.
Rats.
Oh, I knew it'd work. Nana, I tell you, I'm psychic. Now, listen. Henry will be in here in a minute, and don't let him leave until I get back.
Can I count on him leaving then?
Oh, hello. Where's Babs?
She'll be right back. Sit down and rest your mind.
Thanks.
You've been pretty successful, I understand, Henry.
I don't feel that I've done badly for a man who began life as a barefoot boy.
No. Of course, I've never yet seen a baby born with shoes on.
I don't get it.
Leave it lay.
Oh, Henry.
Oh, Babs, I'd like to have a very serious talk with you. Alone, if possible.
Subtle as a pile driver. I caught it okay. Whistle when the parlor's empty.
Thank you, Nana.
Babs, I find myself in a very awkward position.
Well, you are, kind of. Why don't you sit down here?
No. You don't understand. It's about us.
You mean we're both awkward?
Let's not beat about the bush. I'll come directly to the point. Barbara, I think we should terminate our engagement.
What?
I know this is going to be a staggering blow to you, but... Well, I love another.
Henry Wagner, you don't mean...
Yes, you've guessed the awful truth. It's Daphne.
Oh,
heavens, quick, someone, get water, get something. She's fainted.
And the curtain comes down on the second act of tonight's play in the little theater off Times Square.
Smoking downstairs or in the outer lobby, please. Smoking downstairs or in the outer lobby, please.
Curtain, last curtain.
There's the signal for the last curtain. The house lights are out, and here's the play.
Barbara, I think your attitude is extremely juvenile. You're behaving absurdly.
Oh, Henry, you can't do this. Oh, anyway, Daphne and Barry are in love.
Don't mention his name to me.
But they are. Barry told me just today that they want to get married.
And you're helping him. Oh, I see it all. You planned for him to come between Daphne and me.
Between Daphne?
The man's nothing but an opportunist. He's without morals or principles.
Don't you talk about Barry that way.
He's been horning in on us the whole time we've been here, annoying Daphne.
Well, I like that, horning in on you when you're supposed to be engaged to me.
Well, it's all over, and I do it without regret now that I've learned how you scheme to hold me.
Henry!
I'll see you before I leave in the morning. Goodbye.
Has the hound of the Baskervilles left?
Oh, Nana.
What are you sniveling about?
Oh, Nana, everything's gone kabunk. I'm perfectly miserable.
Oh, dry up and tell me what's the matter.
Henry's in love with Daphne.
Well, so the caterpillar became a butterfly, huh? Oh, forget it. You're well rid of him. After all, you still got Barry.
I wish I did have.
What do you mean?
Barry's gonna marry Daphne.
Ooh. She gets along pretty well on half a brain, doesn't she?
I'm left like a rowboat when the tide goes out.
Well, no two men are worth any loss of sleep. Go on to bed. We'll figure it out in the morning.
Oh, Nana, I'm so unhappy. I wish Barry didn't love her.
Barry? What about Henry?
Oh, I hate him. He was so nasty.
Well, this is a bitter lesson, but it ought to teach you this. The plural of men, Babs, is menace. Good morning, dear.
Good morning, Nana.
Sleep?
Finally.
You're clearer about the whole thing now, aren't you?
Yes, yes. I know one thing for certain.
Yes?
Now. It's Barry I loved all the time, and I'm going to tell him so this morning.
Sure?
Yes. Where are they all?
Haven't come down yet.
Have? But it's 9:30. They won't sleep this late.
Well, go ahead and wake them then.
I will. Daphne! Daphne, it's time to... She's gone! Barry! Barry, are you in there? Barry? Barry, are you here?
What's the matter?
Nana, they've gone. Barry, it's... Look, here's a note.
Well, read it.
Oh, Nana, I'm afraid to.
Huh?
Dear Babs, I'm sorry it had to end this way, but we all want happiness. Daphne and I are leaving tonight. I'm driving up to my cottage at Milford tomorrow to be married. Love, Barry.
Well, scuttle my stump.
Nana, he's gone.
Where's Henry?
Oh, I haven't looked.
Come on.
Henry? Henry, are you there?
Open the door.
He's gone, too.
There's a note on his bed.
Oh, wait a minute. Dear Barbara, I thought it best for me to depart this way. Daphne and I love each other. I intend to marry her tomorrow at George Blaine's in Hackensack. Try and forget me, Henry.
Hackensack? With a whole world to choose from, he picks Hackensack. He'll probably honeymoon at Weehawken.
Oh, Nana, I've made such a mess of things.
Do you love Barry?
More than I ever realized.
Maybe it isn't too late.
Well, how?
He said Milford, didn't he?
Well, yes.
But what? If he's worth anything, he's worth fighting for. If I wanted a man that badly, I'd go and get him.
You mean you'd...
Darn tootin' a wood.
But what if Daphne's there?
What if she is? Take him right out from under her nose.
Nana, I do love him that much.
Well, then get going and don't spare the horsepower.
Why, Babs?
Are you married yet?
Huh? What?
Are you still single?
Yeah, I guess so.
Where is she?
Who?
Daphne. She's in that room, isn't she?
Why?
Yes, she is, I know. But it doesn't make any difference because I came here for a purpose.
Now, Babs, now take it easy.
I don't care if she is in there or if she hears me.
Now, please, Babs, now please be careful.
Barry Thomas, I love you.
Well, I know, but what did you say?
Oh, Barry, I never realized how much before now. You can't marry Daphne. You simply can't when I love you so much.
Well...
No. You do love me, don't you?
Sure.
I'll make such a good wife. Very much better than Daphne, really, I will.
Yeah, I guess you would.
Then say you'll give her up. Say it.
All right.
Oh, darling.
And we'll get married right away.
Yes. Oh, but Barry, don't you think you ought to go in there and tell her?
Tell her?
Yeah, tell Daphne.
Oh, but she isn't there.
What?
Well, she's marrying Henry this afternoon.
What?
Now, take it easy, darling. Take it easy.
You mean to say you deceived me?
Now, wait a minute.
Why, you two-faced, unprincipled...
Sit down, woman.
Don't you hit me.
Sit down.
Yes, Barry.
Now, I never said Daphne was in that room. You said it.
But the note you left, it said you were going to marry her at your cottage here.
No, it didn't, sweetheart. It said Daphne and I were leaving last night. We did, Daphne with Henry and I alone.
Then you knew Henry and Daphne were leaving?
Your grandmother heard them leaving and suggested that I do the same.
Nana, huh?
Mm-hmm.
But you did say you were getting married at Milford today.
That's right. To you.
You mean you knew I'd come running after you?
Now, slow down. You're going around a curve. No, I didn't, but your grandmother seemed to be pretty sure you would.
Nana, again.
Sure. She's been my advisor all through this. She told me to come here and wait and that you'd come to your senses sooner or later.
Like that sly old fox. I thought she was working for me and she was... helping you all the time.
Helping us, darling.
But why did you ask to break our engagement?
Grandma's advice. She figured if you got what you wanted, you'd be sure not to want it.
Oh, dear, I guess I've been an awful goon.
Well, you have what you want now?
Mm-hmm.
Are you sure you want it?
Mm-hmm.
Then come and get it.
There it is, ladies and gentlemen, the premier performance of Hamlet's like a new hit play on the Great White Way at the Little Theater off Times Square. Miss Luddy and Mr. Soleil are taking bows. Now they're joined by Verna Felton and the all-star supporting cast, Green Tuttle, High Ever Back, and Paul DeVos. Next week, join us again and bring your friends for a mystery melodrama. And now we move out of the theater and into the street.
Extra, extra, get your paper.
Here's your cab, Mr. Persnider.
Thank you. Good night.
The First Nighter program, a copyrighted radio feature, is an NBC Radio Network production starring Barbara Luddy and Olin Soule. The part of the First Nighter is played by Rye Bilsbury. Tonight's play was pure fiction and did not refer to real people or actual events. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.
Man, that's the First Nighter program, August 6, 1953, Two Loves Had She, starring Olin Soule. And Barbara Luddy is heard on NBC. Let's take a break. Then it's more here on the WGN Radio Theater. Yep, Lisa's out cold. Lisa, wake up.
Did you say something, Carl?
You need to set your iPhone alarm for
108.
108, because this is the third hour.
That's a great idea. I'll try to do that.
Of the WGN Radio Theater. See, I didn't talk over you there.
But
for once in our lives.
But if I asked you to do it, you'd say you don't know how.
What's that?
To set your alarm on your phone.
I do.
You do?
I can set my alarm.
Get out of here.
On my iPhone, yes.
I'm impressed.
You're impressed. My kids are like, Dad. They showed me, though.
Oh,
my kids
sure.
showed me. They know how to do everything on
yes,
those.
Yes, they certainly do.
I don't know how to do much on it.
We are no spring chicken.
I just learned how to keep notes on it.
Oh, you just started doing
yeah,
that?
Yeah, pretty
That's
excited
a great,
about it.
Great
yeah.
thing.
You know, when you get older, little things like that get you very excited.
I'll
you
keep
know?
That in mind.
Okay. So this is program 64 of the WGN Radio Theater. It's our third hour. And in this hour, we're going to tune into Gunsmoke, a good Western adventure with William Conrad as U.S. Marshal Matt Dillon. But before that, we're going to play Celebrity Scoop. Dum, dum.
Celebrity Scoop, brought to you by Cat's Pride. Meow.
This actor stars in the upcoming science fiction thriller Geostorm about a satellite designer who tries to save the world from a storm of epic proportions.
All right, you're going to win a $25 gift card for Big Iron Horse in Barrington, and they
right.
cater all over the place.
Exactly.
All right, so the number to call, 312-981-7200, 312-981-7200. 981-7200. Now, here is this actor confessing his love for Katherine Heigl's character in The Ugly Truth.
Yeah, it is scary. It's terrifying, especially when I'm in love with a psycho like you.
Ah, see how that can be?
Yeah.
It's
that
not,
was the girl
it's
that's
not
the
good
psycho.
Falling in love with a psycho. You know, it's
you would
not,
know about that
now,
would you?
It's not good. All right, so if you know who that actor is, give us a call, 312-981-7200. We'll find our winner after this break.
We are back and playing Celebrity Scoop. Let's hear that movie clip again.
Yeah, it is scary. It's terrifying, especially when I'm in love with a psycho like you.
And we're talking to Sherrion Woodridge. Hey, Sherry.
Hi.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm great. Do you know that voice?
That is Gerard Butler.
It is Gerard Butler. Guess what, Sherry?
What?
Sherry.
Sherry.
More Sherry. Oh, Sherry.
Oh, I was singing Sherry Baby. Sorry, wrong Sherry. Anyway, this
I
Sherry.
Adore.
Oh, okay. This Sherry is a winner. She has won a $25 gift card for the Big Iron Horse Barbecue and Catering, which is located in Barrington, or catering, of course, across the Chicagoland area. You can check them out at www.bigironhorse.com. Sherry, thank you so much for calling in, and congratulations on being a winner.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
I'll serenade you, Sherry.
Oh,
anytime
okay,
you want.
Listening.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
You do that.
Thank you.
She's probably like, I'll be turning the
oh,
dial.
Oh, I'm listening. All
I
right.
I will be turning the dial if Carl's going to sing. Hey, so you know what? Before we get into this episode of Gunsmoke, I just want to remind our listeners one more time that they can go to MeesMeals.com, MeezMeals.com, and choose any dinner for two. Delivered right to your door. There's no strings attached. It's absolutely free. Take advantage of this very limited time offer. Just go to MeezMeals.com, MeezMeals.com. Choose from their many items that are available on their website. You can get dinner for two delivered to your door absolutely free. You have to put in the code radio, right?
Perfect.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it.
You're not
going to
jump in.
Say.
You're not going
to. Nothing to
correct
say.
Me. You're
nothing
not gonna...
to repeat.
Carl,
yeah.
You're perfect.
Oh, man. Thanks, Lisa.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you really, really mean that.
Oh, yeah, I do.
Okay. You know what is perfect, though?
I do.
Perfect Western.
Gunsmoke.
It was the most perfect of all the adult Westerns, in my opinion. I liked Have Gun Will Travel a lot, too. But Gunsmoke was sort of really the best adult Western of all of them. And it came to radio in 1952. It was created by Norman McDonnell and John Meston. It aired all the way to 1961. And the stories were in and around Dodge City, Kansas in the mid to late 1800s. Marshal Matt Dillon was played by one man throughout the whole series, William Conrad. Parley Bear was Deputy Chester Proudfoot. Howard McNair was Doc Adams. Georgia Ellis was Kitty Russell. And Dillon was a lonely, isolated man, Lisa. He was toughened by a hard life. He didn't have someone like you in his life to cheer him up like I do.
Of course.
You know? He was a single guy, and he was a, you know, he was a tough, tough guy. He had women problems, you know?
Not unlike me. Somebody I might know.
So it was adapted for television in 1955, ran till 1974 on television. It was just a huge, huge hit on TV. James Arness played Dillon on television, ranked number one on television from 1957 to 61. But we have a radio show for you now from September 16th, 1956. It's called Thick and Thin, and it stars William Conrad. Here's part one now of Gunsmoke.
Gunsmoke. Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of Gunsmoke. Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man. Matt Dillon, United States Marshal. The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful. And a little lonely.
Now, if that sure don't beat all.
What's the matter, Chester?
Odie Perkins, coming down the street there with a mat on so thick you can feel it right through the window.
Oh? Odie's not a man to get tempered easy.
Well, he sure is now, Mr. Dillon. He's a doggone riled, he's leaving a blue streak behind him. It's the gospel truth, look.
That can't be anything serious.
Marshal Dillon.
Oh, morning, Odie.
Marshal. I'm here to call on the power and protection of the law in all its majesty and might.
Well, that's a pretty tall order, Odie. You got some reason for needing the law?
Reason? I got reasons that go back as far as 15 years. Marshal, I want to swear out a complaint, an injunction, a bench warrant, whatever it is it takes to get a certain low-life scum evicted from the premises, run out of Dodge, banished from the territory, and horsewhipped to boot, if you can work it in somehow.
What's a certain person done, Odie, to deserve that kind of attention?
It ain't what he's done as much as what he is, and I ought to noted it long before this, but he sure had me fooled.
You're not by any chance talking
I'm
about...
talking about Brace McCoy, that's who I'm talking about. And I even hate to let his sneaking name soil my lips.
Yeah, but Odie, you and Brace have been partners as long as I can remember.
Oh, not no more. We ain't not since this morning. Marshal, I want him throwed clean off the place.
Now, wait a second, Odie. As I recall, you boys took up that homestead as joint tenants, huh? Brace has got as much right there as you have.
Well, Marshal...
Yeah, come in, Brace. We were just talking about it.
I want to get a fella's throat off of my property, Marshal, and that's a fact.
You're referring to Odie Perkins here,
That's
huh?
a fella, Marshal, but him and me ain't speaking, and that's a fact.
You're gall-darn tootin' we ain't. Not now nor never.
I'll sign the papers now if you'll just read them up.
I'll remind you, Marshal, I come here first.
Fixing papers for Odie wouldn't be no use no how. Little varmint can't write, and that's a fact.
I can make as good an ex as you can. I mean, he can.
Now, wait a minute.
Just look at him, Marshal. He ought to be ashamed of himself. A great, big, blubber mouth that outweighs me twice again. And he comes in here sniveling for the law to help him out.
Just
a
minute.
He keeps prodding me, and I'm going to whop him good, and that's a fact.
Not while I'm wearing this here six gun, you ain't going to whop nobody. I mean, he ain't going to.
Will you shut up, both of you? Now, who started all this ruckus?
It's personal, Marshal.
Me, I'd rather not say.
Uh-huh. Well, that's just fine. For 15 years, you've ridden together, finally took up land together, and all of a sudden you start sidling around with your hackles up, ready to throw lead at one another. And you won't even say why,
huh? Well, just getting particular who I live with, is all.
I want him out of my house,
Marshal. Now, get this straight, both of you. You own that farm jointly, and I got no legal reason to throw either one of you off. So until you settle your differences or sell out, you're going to make the best of it.
I already offered to buy him out.
I ain't budging, and that's a fact.
All right. If you can't settle it yourselves, I'll settle it for you. Chester.
Yes, sir?
Will you hand me those cards over there?
Yes, sir. Here you are, Mr. Dillon. Yeah.
Now, as I recall, you got a fair to middling house out there and a mighty good barn. Until you sell, you got to stay on the place to take care of the stock. All right. Now, one of you lives in the house and the other one in the barn, and you'll leave each other alone. Is that completely clear? All right, Brace, you cut first. High card takes his choice.
Well, all right. 10. That's good.
Ain't as good as a queen.
All right, what's your choice, Odie?
The barn. It smells better than McCoy.
Odie, you come around my house and I'll break you in half. That's a fact.
Step one foot in my barn, I'll blast you full of holes.
Now remember what I told you, both of you. You leave each other alone.
Guess I better get back out to my house. Good day.
I'll be going to my barn now, Marshal. Much obliged.
Why don't you stand in the breeze a little while, Odie? You might cool off a little.
Well, I declare, if that don't beat all. I guess it ain't nothing serious, though.
It's not like him, Chester. I'm afraid it is serious. I just hope it don't get more so. Kitty.
Well, you're as welcome as a hunter's moon through a tamarack bush.
What? Now you sound like a singing chief of the Cherokees.
No, Kiowas. That's her tribe.
Whose tribe?
Summer Dubs. She spent the afternoon helping me sew costumes.
Summer Dub?
Huh? You remember her, Matt. She's that Indian girl who left the reservation last spring and came into town to work for Ma Smalley at the boarding house.
Oh, yeah, sure, I remember.
She's a good seamstress. A real good cook, too, I hear.
Oh?
Yeah, she's sort of lost since Ma Smalley went back east. Hey, look. She did most of the work on this costume. You like it?
Well, it doesn't look like that one took much sewing, Kitty.
This is the kind where the sewing's important.
Yeah. I guess a lot depends on it. How about having a drink with me, huh?
Well, I've tasted the morning wind from the south, and my heart beats the lark song.
What's that?
It means I'll have a drink with you.
Oh, okay. Oh, wait a minute, Kitty.
Matt?
Yeah, what's the matter, Doc?
Well, man, I just drove in from up towards the flat, and I passed the McCoy Perkins farm on the way.
Yeah?
You better get out there, man, before those two kill each other.
What do you mean?
Why, they got a confounded war going on. One of them's barricaded in the barn, the other's holed up in the house. And they're firing bullets back and forth so fast, it sounds like the Battle of Shiloh.
Now, I haven't heard from them for 3 days. I was hoping maybe they'd cooled off by now.
Cooler? They didn't sound very cool when I came by.
Kitty, it looks like you'll have to stretch out that lark song a little, huh?
It's all right, man.
Okay.
Some other time.
All right, that's one of the best westerns of all time. That is Gunsmoke, starring William Conrad, going back to September 16th, 1956, in Thick and Thin. We'll get back to that in just a few minutes. Let's take a break, then it's more on the WGN Radio Theater. All right, and we want to remind you to send in a picture of you and your kitty cat, along with your name and your kitty cat's name. Email it to catspridephoto@gmail.com and be entered into our drawing for April, because Dan Jaffe, the CEO of Cats Pride, our sponsor, will be here in a month. At the end of the month, he will draw a name at random. It could be your name, and you will win a year's supply of Cats Pride kitty litter for your precious cat. And you want to look for the green jug, because that's Cats Pride Ultimate Care. Right, Lisa?
Right. Ultimate Care, fresh and light.
All right. We have been listening to Gunsmoke. Let's get back to it. September 16th, 1956. This is called Thick and Thin, starring William Conrad.
By jing, Mr. Dillon, I never realized it was so far out here. Doc wasn't putting on none about it. Doggone if it don't sound like Shiloh.
Blame fools, you'd think they were old enough to have better sense.
Thank goodness, right? Now that's just too doggone close for comfort.
I'll comfort him. Rain up, Chester.
Oh, hold.
Howdy! Brace! Matt Dillon, hold your fire, both of you!
All right, come on, Chester. Let's go over to the barn first. Odie, you in there?
You're darn tootin' I am, Marshal. That big hunk of buzzard bait ain't about to dislodge me, neither.
I am, though. I'll give you just 5 seconds to get that door open and come out here.
Now wait, Marshal.
You hurt me, Odie.
Okay. I wasn't the one that started.
Chester, take his gun and keep him covered.
Yes, sir, I sure will, Mr. Dillon. My goodness.
Brace.
What do you want?
You gonna open that door or you want me to shoot it open?
Now, Marshal, I'll open it. Ain't no call to get all angered up, and that's a fact.
All right, I'll take your gun, Brace, and that's a fact. Here, give it to me. All right, come on out here.
I was only defending myself, Marshal. That scrawny little weasel started it all.
Marshal, don't you believe nothing Brace says? He was born alive.
Shut up, Odie. Well, I guess the only thing to do is to see if you two can manage to get along in separate jail cells. I'm putting you both under arrest for disturbing the peace.
Oh, now, wait just a minute.
What do you mean? Ain't nobody around here, Marshal. Whose peace we disturb?
Mine.
Oh,
come on, let's go.
Buggy tied up there, Mr. Dillon. Must be waiting for us in the office.
Yeah.
Oh, good morning, Matt.
Morning, Doc.
Hey, Chester.
Oh, Doc.
Well, I've got an hour to kill, Matt. Just time to beat the socks off of you in a game of chess. Board's all set up and...
Oh, good, Doc. Let me take a look at my prisoners first, huh?
Who is it, Matt?
Odie Perkins and Brace McCoy.
Is that so?
Yeah, I'll be right back. Oh, morning, boys.
Marshal.
Well, how about it? You about ready to stop feuding?
Sure. If Brace will get himself off my property, I will.
I ain't even to budge, Marshal, and that's a fact.
You kind of like it here, huh?
Man can't go back on his principles, Marshal.
He ain't got no more principles than a hungry coyote.
All right, that's enough. You act like a couple of wet roosters. You can't even remember what the whole thing started about.
I remember, all right.
I'll tell you what it started about, Marshal. It started because Brace didn't figure I was fancying his vittles up enough to suit him.
For a whole week, Marshal, he didn't fix nothing but flapjacks in the morning and hominy grits at night.
With side meat in them.
Weren't side meat. It was sow belly and it weren't fit to eat.
You know what he done, Marshal, when I put them grits on the table? He throwed them on the floor and tromped all over them with his boots on.
That's all he was fitting for. I wouldn't throw vittles like that to the hog.
I seen many a day you'd be glad for.
Now, wait a minute. Is this the truth? Is this what this whole thing's all about?
Well, it's what's... it started about.
But it ain't what it's about now. Not anymore, it ain't, Marshal.
No, sir. It's a lot more than that now.
I come to realize I've been keeping a viper in my bosom.
You can be mighty mistaken about a man, Marshal, and that's a fact.
Yeah. But you two thought well of each other for years. Now, it seems to me a friendship like that ought to last over at least one fool argument.
Brace McCoy ain't no friend of mine, not no more, he ain't.
Once I get out of this cell, I'm gonna whop that little gopher to an inch of his life.
Right across the sights of my gun. That's how I want
to feel. All right, boys. All right, just settle back. Looks like you're gonna have plenty of time to think up names to call each other.
Marshal.
Yeah?
How long you aim to keep us in this miserable old jailhouse?
Well, you got some sense. Or die of old age.
How they making out, man?
Oh, like a pair of tomcats, Doc. I don't know what I'm going to do with them. I can't keep them locked up forever.
For two nice fellows like them, they sure did turn mean awful sudden.
If you ask me, they're both probably aching to make up.
Yeah. I've been thinking along those same lines, Doc. Seems to me they could have killed each other out there on the farm if they'd really been trying to.
Of course they could. Why, they must have fired over 100 rounds at each other.
Yeah, but if I let them out, they'll either kill each other by accident or kill somebody else. Unless they could... Yeah. Chester.
Yes, sir?
There's an Indian woman named Summerdove somewhere around town. Kitty can tell you where she is. Go find her and get her over here as soon as you can, will you?
All right, Mr. Dillon.
Boys, this is Summerdove. These are the two men I was telling you about, Summerdove. The short, skinny one is Odie Perkins, and the fat one's Brace McCoy.
How do?
Howdy, Miss Dove.
Glad to know you, man.
Summerdove's one of the best cooks in Ford County, boys. Ma Smalley taught her, huh?
So?
She needs a place to live. She'll work for her keep.
What are you getting at, Marshal?
Well, you boys got a place out there that you're not using, that lean-to against the barn. It might be fixed up pretty comfortable. Like I said, Summerdove's a mighty fine cook.
All right. I'd be proud to hire on Miss Summerdove, Marshal. Providing you fix it to keep that ornery sidewinder away from my property.
Sidewinder, you...
Brace, you come within 20 yards of me, you better come a shoot.
All right, boys, hold it. Well, Summerdove, these are the two men I thought you might like to work for, or for one of them, more likely.
One man, two men, makes no difference.
All right. You wait out in the office for me, will you?
Me go.
Yeah. Boys, if you can't come to any agreement, it looks like there's only one way to settle this.
What do you got there, Marshal?
Your guns. I figure you couldn't kill each other out there at the farm because you had too much cover, but here it's different.
What are you doing, Marshal?
I'm putting your guns on the floor of your cells, but neither one of you touch them now till I'm out of here.
Oh, now, wait just a minute.
I don't like this, Marshal, and that's a fact.
There's nothing between you now but an 8-foot corridor and open bars. Now, you get it settled, boys, one way or the other. I'll be in my office. I think that'll do it.
Oh!
Mate, Doc.
Doggone you, Matt. Oh, that was a sneaky move. Yes, it was, if I ever saw
it. Yeah, it was.
Oh. I swear I can't get over it, Mr. Dillon. Odie and Brace walking out of here that way, arm in arm, like there hadn't never been no crossword between them.
Well, it's like Doc said, Chester. They were anxious enough to make up. All they needed was a push.
Well, you sure did take a big chance, though, giving them their guns back.
Ah, they didn't want to kill each other. Somebody just had to make him realize it, that's all. I wasn't taking much chance.
He sure wasn't, Chester. Not the way he did it.
Chester, you can ride out there tomorrow and take these guns to him, if you will, and see if Summerdove's got herself settled down, huh?
All right, Mr. Dillon. What do you mean, Doc, not the way he did it?
Just that, Chester. Matt doesn't take any chances.
You don't call that taking a chance when they might have killed each other?
Not with the blanks he made in putting their guns.
The blanks? He made... blank.
Sure, like those actors use on the stage.
What?
Oh, of course, I figured what he was up to. He didn't fool me any.
Well, you sure fooled me, Mr. Dillon. I was sitting here on pins and needles just waiting for the sound of death.
Oh, you're an easy mark, Chester.
You know, Doc, I was pretty sure about those fellas all the time.
You were?
Yeah. You see that whiskey bottle out there?
Of course I see it. Why?
Blanks, Doc?
And now, William Conrad.
You know, there weren't too many formal burials on the frontier. Usually the dead man was just wrapped in his saddle blanket and laid away on Boot Hill. However, next week, Dodge City watches a formal burial, while the coffin contains nothing but rocks. And that was the West.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. The script was specially written for Gunsmoke by Les Crutchfield, with editorial supervision by John Meston. The music was composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Ray Kemper and Bill James. Featured in the cast were Vic Perrin, Barney Phillips, and Peggy Ray. Barley Bear is Chester, Howard McNair is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. Join us again next week for another specially transcribed story on Gunsmoke.
Not a bad Gunsmoke in the bunch. And there was like hundreds of episodes. You heard thick and thin there from September 16th, 1956. And as I say, Lisa, this radio show started in 1952, lasted all the way to 1961. But the television show was ultra popular. I mean, the radio show was super popular too. But imagine a television series. Imagine a series now lasting 21 years on television.
Oh, so few.
1955 until 1974. And it had every star in...
Wait, 55 to 74?
55 to 74.
That'd be 19 years, right?
I'm sorry, you're right, 19 years. Yeah, sorry. Sorry, I did the math wrong. Yeah, 19... Math was one of my... It was actually a good subject
yeah,
for me.
Yeah, I could see that.
Did very well, although I'm, you know... Listen. Jimmy Stewart here. Anyway, so when this show went to television, CBS and the producers of the series said, okay, do we cast the radio people as these actors? And they gave them all auditions. They all had the wardrobe and everything like that. And they just went, nah.
Yeah, no.
And they recast the whole television show. And you know who they wanted to give the lead role to on television? The role of Marshal Matt Dillon. They offered it to an iconic actor who played a cowboy in many, many films. Can you guess?
I can't.
John Wayne.
Oh,
they
sure.
asked John Wayne, would you like to do this? And he was like, not really. I don't want to be on a weekly grind, a television series like that. He was kind of up in years by 1955. And so what they decided to do was cast a sort of an unknown guy. And John Wayne himself suggested this guy, this actor that I'm going to tell you, James Arness, mm-hmm. who we all know is Marshall, and he was amazing. I mean, amazing. If you watch the Gunsmoke television shows, this guy was incredible in that role of Marshal Matt Dillon. He was a big guy. He was like a 6'5", 6'6", guy. And
about your height?
Yeah, my height. John Wayne said, this is a guy you should cast. This guy would be great. And I guess he knew James Arness from maybe he was an extra in a movie or something like that John Wayne was in, and they cast him.
He was
and,
right.
And he was amazing. And they recast everybody. But that show, if you get a chance to watch the television versions, they run on MeTV, Neil Saban's network, and they run on Antenna TV, and they run on Lucan and all the different classic television shows. But it's just, it's really high, really like just first class all the way, the radio and the TV show. Gunsmoke, hope you enjoyed that. That was from 1956, Thick and Thin.